Let's stand for the reading of the scripture tonight in honor of the word of God. Judges chapter number 16. Judges chapter number 16. We're going to read verses 19 to 25. We're going to read the end of a very tragic story. And then after we read the scripture, we'll pray. We'll be seated, but you'll want to leave your Bibles open. We're going to look at some other verses there in a few minutes. Judges chapter number 16. We'll start in verse number 19. Of course, the very familiar story of Samson. We're going to see the tragic end right here. Verse 19. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. She caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Whenever I read that, that is such a sad statement. You know, he was so far from God, and things were at such a bad state, he didn't even know that God wasn't with him anymore. Verse number 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and brought him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after that, after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice. For they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport." They called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the word of God tonight as we really just heed a little bit of a warning here, and maybe put some caution signs up in our life as we, Lord, see how things happened in the life of Samson. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and just help us, Lord, to be vigilant, understanding that we have an adversary who seeks to devour us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Of course, in life, there's many contrasts that we go through. Sometimes we have victories in our life, and other times we suffer defeats. We have those times of highs when things are going well, and it just seems that everything is on top side, and then we can have other times when maybe we're going through a valley, a low time in our life. Good times and bad times. The thing we need to understand is, as Christians, as we go through things of that nature, we must understand, no matter what is going on, we are on the winning side. And if we don't experience what it means to be on the winning side, it's not that our side has lost, it's that we have decided not to participate with being on the winning side. That's as a child of God, not just as an individual. If we're not careful in our life, what could have just been a bad day for us, or maybe some misstep in our life, can become an addictive behavior and really leads us to a permanent destination. We must always be careful with what is going on in our lives. As we look at Samson here, Samson is at a place that he really, in his mind, wouldn't want to be in. Place he really doesn't want to be at, but because of some things in his life, this is where he has ended up. This too happens to Christians. Sometimes we end up in our life at a place that we really don't want to be, and we're experiencing things that really we really wouldn't have expected that we're experiencing. But there's reasons for that. We're experiencing some consequences. Understand that actions always come with consequences. Okay, everything we do, if we are not careful, and even when we need to be careful, we do things and we need to retract it and make things right. If we're not careful, those actions are going to lead to certain consequences. That's just how life works. Samson did not end up where he was on accident. If you've been a Christian any length of time, and I'm not trying to be negative tonight, I'm trying to be helpful. If you've been a Christian any amount of time, you can look back and think of someone you've known or some folks, that a family or whatever it is, that at one time they were doing pretty good with the Lord. Things were going okay in their life. Not that anybody's ever perfect. But maybe now, because they've made some choices, they've made some deviations, maybe they weren't careful, their life has ended up in a place they really would not have wanted it to be. At one time, they were experiencing blessings, and now they're not experiencing those blessings. One time, they could see that God was maybe working in their family, and now, if they were honest, they could see that God is no longer working in their family. One time, their marriage was going well, and now their marriage is kind of derailing. They had a purpose in a life, and God was using them, and now they no longer have that. And that can be a problem. The verses we read tonight, this is where Samson is at. Samson is a very unique individual in the Bible. From his miraculous birth till his vow and his supernatural strength. As we read through the book of Judges, God raised up these judges at certain times and in certain parts of the promised land there to deliver the people. And most of the time, you would see this judge coming on the scene, and God works in his life, and he kind of rallies everybody together, and they go out and they throw off the oppression of the enemy. But when you read the story of Samson, you don't read that. Samson didn't need an army. Samson was the army. Samson was such a strong guy, he didn't need help. When he went at it, he went at it. But yet, for being the strongest man in the Bible, Samson had some serious weaknesses. And this ended his life and ended what God was doing in his life a little bit early. Now you say, well, yeah, but when Samson ended his life, and we didn't read that pass, he took out the pillars of the palace there, and he killed more people in his death than he did in his life. Yeah, but how many other victories could he have gained if he would have kept going on? Samson was in a bad place. Now, the question is, how did he end up at that place? Let's read some more verses, and then we'll make a few comments here. Look, go back to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. We'll read some verses, we'll make four observations, and then we will be done tonight. Judges chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. It says, and Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman of Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, go get her for me to wife. Turn over to Judges chapter 16 and verse 1. Judges 16, 1, two chapters over. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. Skip down to verse 4. We'll read the story here with Delilah. And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came up to her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherewith his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines bought brought up her seven green withes, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now, when there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms as a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto hast thou mocked me and told me lies. Tell me therewith that thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, thou weavest the seven locks of my head with a web. She fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast hid me and hast told me wherewith thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, then he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, she went and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in her hand. There it is, as we read these verses, we see the path that he trod that led him to the bitter end. And by the way, if we violate some of the principles we're going to look at tonight, we might end up in a place we don't want to be. Now, I'm not one of these, if you get out of church, God's going to drop an asteroid on you, that type of thing, okay? I remember when I was in Bible college, someone gave us a message. It was called God's Three Deadlines. Has anybody ever heard that message? It was an old-time evangelist. I listened to it in my dorm, and he's talking about guys' motorcycles running into semi-trucks, and the guy looked like he went through a meat grinder. I didn't sleep for a week. Okay, after listening to that message. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying this. If we violate some of these things, our life can head down a path and get to where we don't want to be. And when we get to that place, the consequences would be consequences we would have never chosen for ourselves like Samson. So let me give you four steps that will lead us to a place you don't want to be. Number one, and we're going to see these in the verses we read, so we're going to go back to them. Giving into fleshly weaknesses when he should have been fighting, specifically Samson. Giving into fleshly weaknesses when he should have been fighting. Although Samson was physically the strongest man that ever lived, he had one seriously overbearing weakness: women. Now, for men, that can be a weakness, okay? We all need to be very, very careful of that. But for him, that was a serious weakness. We saw that, the lady in Timnah, the harlot, Delilah. This man just, when he saw a woman and he wanted her, he wanted her. And these were women that God did not want him to have. There is no sign from what I read that he ever tried to combat that weakness. He just gave into it, thinking he had this supernatural strength, maybe that positioned him to a place where he thought it was okay for him to give in to some of these other things, not realizing that eventually the two were going to be connected and he was going to lose his physical strength. I know that we can be too hard on ourselves if we don't understand that we are flesh and have weaknesses and that we are not perfect. And I understand that. But that doesn't license us to give in to sin very easily and use that as an all-encompassing excuse. And sometimes we do that, don't we? Sometimes we do things we shouldn't do and we excuse ourselves saying, well, after all, I'm just flesh. And I understand the concept. I understand. But when we start falling into that trap, then we're going to allow ourselves to go even farther. And the more we mess around with that, the harder it is going to be for us to get out of trouble. By the way, some of the weaknesses of our flesh are common to all people, right? Something happens to you, someone's mean spirit to you, we naturally want to react a certain way. We all have to struggle with pride in certain things. There's just certain things that sin is common to us. But there is also some sin that would be specific to you. In other words, it's a sin, but it's something that you have a little more propensity to go towards. So where do you get that? Well, let's look at the book of James. Let me quote to you. James chapter 1 and verse 14. It talks about temptation. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And the words used there, it's terms of baiting a trap. You see, if you are trying to catch something, you're going to put a specific bait, which is specific to whatever you are trying to catch. If you go fishing, I don't know a lot about fishing, but I do know from what I've learned from Brother Ross, and that's why I always take Brother Ross with me, I do know that certain fish want certain things. If you're trying to catch a certain fish, you need to use the bait that fish likes. That's how Satan goes after us. That's how he tempts us. He knows which sins that our flesh specifically have a little more desire for, and that's what he's going to throw out at us. I've said on many times, when I was younger, I was not saved. I grew up as an unsaved teenager, and I was your typical unsaved teenager, going out with my friends, and we would party and do those things, and we would drink. But I never liked it. I just did it because everybody else did it. That was the cool thing to do. So when I got saved and I got right with God, that was easy to give up. I didn't like it anyhow. But there are other things that were harder to give up. Look, if Satan's going to tempt me, if you ever hear that I fall, it will not be with alcohol. But it could be with other things. You say, well, how can I know? You know. And if you got saved later on, let me ask you this. What was the hardest thing for you to give up? What was the hardest thing that God really had to deal with you to get over? That's probably your weakness. And so let's be very, very careful. Samson never dealt with his weakness. He willingly gave in to it. Let's be careful. Let's be vigilant. Yes, let's not beat ourselves up if something happens and we blow up for a temporary thing and it's not some long-term thing. But on the other hand, let's take it seriously and let's get it right with God and let's move on. We must be very, very, very careful. That's why we need God's strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. See, without God's strength, we are going to struggle. We need God's help. And as we mentioned on Thursday night out of Ephesians, it tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's why it's so vitally important that we guard our relationship with God and we guard our time with God, because we need God's strength if we're going to overcome the weaknesses that are inherent in our flesh. Don't just give in to them. Say, but man, I'm feeling weak. Get with God. Fight it. Giving in to fleshly weaknesses. A great biblical illustration of outward strength being a result of inward strength is Joshua. Okay? Joshua, as we alluded to this morning, was going to take the land, and he was going to fight some very physical battles. There was a lot that was going to go on there, but God made it very clear to Joshua that all the outward battles, all the leadership, all the things you're going to do, if you want to have success, that success is going to be tied back to me. That strength that you need is going to be tied back to me, and it's going to be through my word or his word. You know, you say, well, what kind of battle plan is that? You know, meditate in my law. Because that's how God works. Our strength is not our own. Our strength comes from him. So first of all, we need to understand that the first step is we give in to the flesh when we should have been fighting it. Secondly, Samson's second step was giving in to loving that which he should have been hating. 16:4, it says, and he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Listen, that was not a woman he should have ever been around. That was not someone God wanted him with. That was people God said, no, that's that you stay away from them. They're pagan, they're evil. But what was Samson doing? All along the way, the harlots and all that stuff, Samson went after those who God did not want him to. His affection went the wrong way. Do you understand his discernment level was very low because his moral level was very low? It surprises me the things people have told me in my office. This girl that used to go to our school, a Cambodian girl, many, many years ago, and she came to see me, and this is back probably 17, 18 years ago when we were over at the old building on Pacific. And she came in, still a young girl, and she came in and she told me a story. She goes, you know, I hadn't seen her in a while. She had been out of town, moved away, and she was back in town. She's like, you know, I was dating this guy, and we've been kind of going back and forth, and he was dating someone at the same time he was dating me, and you know, he kind of got both of us pregnant. We both had children, and they're both the same age. And she's telling me this, and she's telling me about this guy. He goes, and he left me, and he's with the other girl, and I'm thinking, well, okay. And she tells me a story. I'm saying, so, how can I help you? Do you need some encouragement, help you with your life and your situation? She goes, oh, no, I just miss him, and I want him back. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. I'd like to run over the guy. Sometimes some of the things people are for, because their moral level is so low, they have zero discernment. That is Samson. And Samson's so bad, a guy that's getting victories for God, that he's loving that which God hates. We have little choice as a Christian. When it comes to the things of this world and the things in our life, we have little choice. We have to make choices all the time. And we have to choose things, and we have to choose what we're going to do. And really, we need to choose what God chooses. We need to choose what God loves. We need to choose what God is for, and we need to choose to reject those things that God rejects. We struggle with that. Charles Spurgeon used to say, you can't love roses if you don't hate weeds. That's true. We can't love right if we don't hate wrong. Now look, I don't think anybody in here loves Satan. Now there was, many years ago, I was teaching the singles class over on Anaheim Boulevard, and there was a girl that would come to my class, Brother Pichardo, and she had some emotional issues. Brother Boy, you may remember this young lady. She's in a car wreck, and she was, it wasn't her fault, but her elevators missed a lot of floors. And she would come in and sit in Sunday school class, and I sit down, and I'm like, all right, we're going to get started. And we read some scripture, and right away she raised her hand. I'm like, what's going on? She goes, I love Satan. I'm like, thank you for sharing that. That's a blessing. Anybody else? Okay, we all understood where she was at. Listen, none of us are for Satan. Okay, if we're saved, we understand he's our mortal enemy. We understand that he doesn't want anything that's good for us. But if we're not careful, and if we don't watch ourselves, we start to get involved in some things that he would probably want us to be involved with. Some things that are really not pro-Christian, they're kind of anti-God. We need to be very careful about that. It's important. By the way, it's very important what we allow to influence us, particularly as Christians. Because if we're all the bombardment from media and everything that's out there in this world is not for God. And by the way, the line is being drawn a little bit more definitive as the days go by. And so, but what happens to us, if we allow ourselves to be influenced by those things, it's just natural. We're going to start thinking, well, what's wrong with those things? It's not that bad. And there's no way we can be involved in some of those things and still keep our love for God pure. Listen, I could never keep my love for my wife pure if I'm meddling around over here with other women. That doesn't work. Neither does it work with God. Let me give you a verse here. I love these verses in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9, talking about Jesus. It says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom." Verse 9, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity." "Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed we with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." You know what one of the secrets of Jesus Christ, of course he was God in the flesh, but he loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. He loved that which was right and hated the sin which was so wrong. If we don't see sin as being wrong, we will be very tempted or apt to maybe dabble in it. Folks, we have to see it for what it is. Sin is sin and wrong is wrong. James 4:4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." It's just point blank. And let me say this, we are very careful around here to not to let anything of the world slip into our church. We're not going to have a certain type of music that the world likes. We're not going to have a certain type of mentality that the world has. Well, you reach more people that way. You may get more people here, but I don't know if you'll reach them. Listen, right is right, and right is good for us. Why would I want to give some, you know, you kids, here, have a Twinkie before you eat dinner. That doesn't work. It probably tastes better. I mean, Twinkies taste better than broccoli, let's just be honest. Okay, but Twinkies have the same nutritional value as this carpet. Okay, but listen, if I'm stuffing myself with Twinkies before dinner, I'm not going to eat asparagus. It's not going to happen. If we're stuffing ourselves with those things that are wrong, our capacity to love and be filled with those things which are right, it's going to be an issue. Number three. What else was Satan's problem? He has a lot of them. What else was Samson's problem? Giving into flirting with that which he should have been fleeing. Okay, now look, this is where I don't get it. Samson, when you read these verses, he must have been like the jock, you know, the star football player that's the fastest, biggest, toughest guy on the team, and he can't string a sentence together, can't comprehend anything. Okay, listen. When Delilah's throwing all this stuff at him, hey, tell me where your strength is from. Well, you know, you do this, and then she does it. Am I missing the memo? Okay. Not just once, not just twice, but three times. It's like, brother, I'm sensing a pattern. I'm guessing she's fishing for something. But you know, in Samson's mind, he must have thought, I can joke around with this stuff. Let's see, I'll just mess with her because, you know, even if the Philistines were here, I'll just rip this stuff off and I'll bust a couple heads and they'll all run away. Not realizing because he was flirting with it and the first time he did that, like, whoa, this sister has some issues. Instead of running from it and flirting with it, he got himself a little too far in. And he was so connected to her that he got so tired of hearing her whine that even though it made him vulnerable and even though the last three times he told her something and she did it, he still told her the fourth time. He should have been getting away from that. He should have been fleeing, getting away. The longer we play the game, if we play the game like Samson, the deeper we get in and the closer we are to losing. You know what the point is? Be careful. We're so flippant with what's going on. Don't see how close you can get to sin. I think I gave this illustration in our staff orientation, but many years ago in the Western days, they needed some stagecoach drivers to deliver mail, and they would, this particular route, they would go through some mountains, and there were some very, you know, some roads right up against the mountain where you can get to the edge, you can go over. So they interviewed some guys, and they were concerned about that, and they asked the first guy, he says, listen, if you're up in the mountain driving on the edge of that, driving on that road up in the mountains, how close can you get to the edge without going over? The first guy said, you know, I can probably get to within 2 or 3 feet of the edge and not go over. The second guy heard that. He thought, I can outdo this guy. I need this job. He says, how close you get? He goes, I can get within 2 or 3 inches of that edge and not go over. They asked the third guy. He goes, I'm going to stay as far from that edge as I possibly can. That, by the way, that's the smart answer. He got the job. We try to tamper with things, you know. Listen, some of you singles out here going out in the cars alone together, you're asking for trouble. Things of that nature. Think life through. Some of you at work and you have these emails, or you're in the break room and someone of the opposite gender is talking and they're getting a little bit too friendly. You be careful with that. I know if you tell them to drop dead, you're not going to run off with them. Okay? Hey, would you like to do this? Well, let me ask my husband and see what he thinks. It's harmless, it's innocent. He's just joking around. Let me tell you something about guys. They don't joke around. That's just their line to get in. But that's how we are with sin. We try to see how close we can get. Be very careful. Take precautions. Brother Gray was here in youth conference, Bob Gray Jr. We were driving the car, and he told me, he goes, there was a guy in his church, and the guy came and said, listen, you know, I've been struggling with pornography. He goes, okay, let's go. So he took him in his car, and he said, you know, where did you get your cell phone from? Wherever it was from, AT&T. He took him down to AT&T. He said, hey, can you fix this guy's phone so all he can do is make phone calls? And the guy's like, He goes, you said you wanted help? And he got his phone fixed so that all he could do was make phone calls. That's called being careful. Now, he was too far in. Let's be very careful. It bothers me when people don't want accountability. It bothers me. Listen, you know, we shouldn't walk around in fear, but we ought to walk around, spiritually speaking, looking around us. We were on vacation. We were up at my mother-in-law's house, and all of our family went, and they were all everybody's different house. There's like 100 of us in our family, so people here, people here. Jack, Josiah, my wife, and I were with my mother-in-law, my father-in-law at their house. My mother-in-law, she has Netflix, and she likes these forensic shows. You know what I'm talking about? And so, you know, her and Jack are watching them, and so I watched some of them, you know. And it's like they show some crime, and then they show how they catch the people. And we watched it, and the next night we watched some more. Listen, after watching those things, I didn't want to go to bed. I'm like, there's some bad people out there. We saw one show where a lady got kidnapped with her baby in the parking lot of a grocery store in the day when her husband went in to get something. So we're driving back from vacation. We all pull into a gas station. Everybody gets out. My wife says, I'm going to wait in the car. I'm like, no, you're not. Someone's going to steal you. And I made her get out of the car, okay? She didn't want to get out. I'm like, you ain't sitting in the car by yourself. You know, truckers are bad people. But listen, we need to be careful. Be careful. Sin's not something to be trifled with. So what do? We flee, like Joseph did. In the house, and he's doing business, and Potiphar's wife catches him and grabs his jacket, and he says, it's yours. He took off. Oh, well, that's the boss's wife. She could get mad. Let her get mad. Like David didn't. David, the second that he saw Bathsheba, he should have bolted. But he didn't. Flee. And the last thing is this. Samson was giving in to submitting what he should have been standing. And it came to pass, verse 16, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, that his soul was vexed unto death. He got to the point where he almost just kind of gave up. He wasn't willing to stand up and fight. I'm tired of fighting with her. I'm tired of going through this day by day. I'm just going to give in. By the way, never, ever, ever give in. Ever. Let me just tell you something, parents. Don't give in to your little your children. By the way, children are good. They spin tails. Well, I don't want to do this. I don't like this or this, that, and the other. It's like, and sometimes, especially as they get older, don't give in. Here's a word you should use even when you don't want to sometimes. No. Little kid comes, you want to, Daddy, can I have this? No. I kind of did want to buy it for him, but no. No's not bad sometimes. And by the way, you know if you're doing right if you tell them no and they say okay. If they throw a fit, then you need to know that you need to use no just a little bit more. But we get so spiritually weary, we get lackadaisical in what we're doing. We get lackadaisical in our own life. We get lackadaisical in what's going on in our families. We get lackadaisical in what we're doing for God because we're not feeling it there. We just. That's the time when you need to stand up. We talked about that this morning, remember? Our emotions are out of kilter sometimes. We feel the stress, we feel the pressure, and everything's confusing, and it's just, and so we make bad decisions. Don't give in. That's where, see, he has so many tools to get us to that point. He uses bitterness. If you're upset with somebody, try to work it out. You say, but I love everybody else. It's just this one person. Can I just tell you something? If you allow bitterness to creep in between you and one person, eventually it's going to spread to other people. That's how bitterness works. Bitterness never hurts the person you're bitter towards, but it always hurts the person who's bitter every single time. You know the old phrase, bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. It doesn't work. But we get bitter and we just quit caring. We have conflicts. There's personal relationships, and we don't deal with them. Sometimes we just get tired in life. Remember what Jesus said to Peter? His disciples are sleeping. The spirit is willing, but flesh is weak. It says you desire the right thing, but because you're tired, you're not fulfilling what you're supposed to be doing. Maybe we have some distance between God. We're not as close to him as we used to be. That would cause us to give. Look, don't give in. Don't get to that place where you just don't care. Always be willing to stand for that which is right and help your family continue to do the things that are right. You know why churches change sometimes? They kind of deviate from the truths and want to maybe get off in a little area that maybe is not as right. Because usually you have a pastor or staff that gets older. They just don't want to fight anymore. I don't mean fight like being contentious, but you know what I'm saying. Stand for what's right. Lovingly stand and just keep doing the right thing. Because it's easier just to give in. Giving in's never the answer. Samson found out. Not only did he get a haircut, he lost his eyes. And his life was coming to an end because he just got to the point. Everything that he had done up to that point was just piled on. And he got to that point and it's like, I'm done. Not one lady was able to get him. Don't get to a place where you don't want to be. All of us face it. All of us are going to face those times. But let's stand and let's do what's right. We don't want to end up like Samson. Let's stand this evening, please.